Of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. You know, there's some parts of my sermon at the 8 o'clock I thought maybe I didn't say that very gently, and maybe I should rethink it. And then we did this wonderful hymn, Take Up Your Cross. And I thought, oh, that would, anything I do after that's gonna be pretty mild, I would say, wouldn't you? I love the hymn. It's just so majestic, isn't it? For me, maybe you feel differently and you like a different style of music, but and I like a lot of different music, except rap. But it's just driven into you, isn't it? And I mean, it's just so full, and the organ is being played with, it just has power in it. And that final verse, I hadn't sung it in a while. And it, take up your cross and follow Christ, nor think till death to lay it down. For only those who bear the cross may hope to wear the glorious crown. And it doesn't sound quite as powerful when I'm just reading it. But I'd say, oh, Matt, thank you for not only doing three verses. But listen to what it's saying. And very often our hymns have a lot to say. Sometimes they have too much to say. I don't disagree. But I want you to just hold on to that concept. For only those who will bear the cross will wear the glorious crown. Only those who will truly follow Jesus will truly live within the kingdom. It's something to be considered. So hold on to that. Back to my script, so to speak. Jesus has very strong words. They're actually a little stronger than the hymn, aren't they? Imagine the scene, if you would. Jesus had been at dinner with the leader of the Pharisees at some point, and all that's been going on over the last couple weeks that we've read and talked about. And now he's sort of on his way again. And there's a group of people who've come to follow. They're moving along with Jesus as he's making his way to the next place where he'll be going. And the large crowd, it says specifically. Now, large crowds were traveling with him. So I could see where maybe over time that could be. I'm just picturing, I know maybe didn't look quite like this. They were probably more around him. But I'm thinking Jesus is walking along and looking back and going, what is this large crowd that's following me? And maybe he even took a couple of weird turns to see, maybe he took the long way instead of a shortcut as he was moving through the next village and just to see if they were following him. And at some point he turns around to the large crowd traveling with him and he said to them, whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Okay. Now, this is a Jewish man, potentially being followed by primarily Jewish people, and he has just told them one of the things held most sacred within their understanding of being Jewish people is the love and care of their family. People have particular jobs, especially the oldest son, amen? They are things that you just do, no matter what. And he's just said, unless you hate these people, and even your life itself, and pick up the cross, you cannot be my disciple. Now, folks will read that, and they'll say to themselves, well, it's not really what he meant. Well, I think he said exactly what he meant. Jesus has a way of doing that. Now, did he mean you literally have to hate your family? Well, as easy as that may be for some members of our family, I think what he was trying to do is this. He wanted to get their attention. He's trying to get them to listen and understand. Following along is not enough. Jesus is seeking true disciples, not just people following along. And I had to look it up a little bit. You know, disciple, that's a word we hear a lot. A learner, a follower, I like this part. One that actually imitates life and teaching of their master. That's a disciple. One who imitates the life and teaching of their master. A disciple. You used to know this couple. The woman has since passed. They, like many people, lived up north at some point. He had, an administrative job in the medical field. He was doing good, as we would say. And they were going along with their life. And they were even following along with Jesus. And at some point, they had an encounter with the risen Lord that changed their lives. And they began to imitate the life and teachings of Jesus. And in the midst of that, they discerned that God was calling them to move to Central Florida. And they really didn't know why, but they knew that that was the call. So they did. Now, when you do something like that, the people around you will think you have lost your mind. And potentially you have, I don't know. But this is what they did. And they ultimately ended up over on the west coast of Florida, which is where I met them. When I met them, they were, I believe, already in their 90s. And their father, we are so sorry that we just don't have the energy to work with you in this ministry. So you don't have the energy. Well, you still are teaching by example. They never quite believed me. And then I heard all the stories of their life. Once they dropped everything and became disciples of Jesus, they got very engaged in a lot of work within the church. Just lay people. I say just as a joke, by the way. Lay ministers of the church engaged in the work of sharing the gospel through various teaching, Sunday school teachers, gathering people for weekend retreat work, and they just did this over and over. Marriage retreat work, and they just did it for years and years and years. And when the wife died, I was asked to preach the funeral, and I'm looking out there and I'm realizing I have talked to many, probably half of the people in the room, and it was full. And just the ones I had talked to, fairly half of them, probably 100 people sitting in front of me, could all look at those two people and say to me, they led me to Jesus. The way that they moved, the things that they spoke, and the way that they loved me helped me to come to know Christ. They were disciples. They were imitating the life and teaching of Jesus. And I would dare say that over the decades that they did this work, hundreds of people could turn and look at them and say, I am here because of the guidance I received from these people. Which then, of course, translated to the families and moved on and on. And I knew this. I had been told by many people. And I would remind the husband from time to time of that. He goes, no. We didn't do very much. I said, I wish and pray that when my life ends, so many people would be able to do the same and know that they came to know Jesus. Hopefully they won't remember who I am. Some loudmouth punk priest. That would be great. But these people at some point did a critical thing. See, as Jesus goes on in this passage, he begins to talk about who would build a tower without the first figuring out what it would take to accomplish it and finish it. Then he talks about a king going to war. He would weigh the ability to succeed in this war, and what should he do and how should he move forward. And in Scripture, and in this portion of Scripture, we would call that counting the cost. So the little heading in my Bible says, counting the cost of discipleship. At some point, they had to sit down together and say, we believe together that God is calling us. What happens to our life if we follow? And they said, we'll go. And if they had fears or other concerns, which they undoubtedly did, they just took that and attached it to that cross and picked it up and went anyway. They bore the burden that can come when you become a disciple. But the beauty of that burden is it's shared. Unlike the burden you may be carrying today on your own, when you are a disciple of Jesus Christ and you follow with him as a disciple, the cross that you bear, he bears with you. This same couple in their later years, as the wife was no longer as mobile as she once was, they would come to church and they were always a little late. And they sat in the second row. And they would come in, and for at least a few years before it became impossible, his wife would sit in the pew. She came in a wheelchair. She could not transfer from the chair to the pew, but she insisted that they transfer her. And she would bring with her a CNA, one of which was, or sometimes two, one of which was her daughter. And in the middle of wherever we were in the service, this would happen. It was just the way it was. And I remember speaking to him after she passed and him saying to me, I'm so sorry we weren't young enough to work with you, Father. I said, are you kidding me? You, by your imitation of unconditional love for your bride, have taught every husband in this room, and hopefully every man in this room, what it means to adore your bride. Adore her as Christ adores us. But I think so many times we come to church. So many times and for so many years, people hear this, like the large crowd, they travel with him. I know people who have sat in the pew of some church in one place or another for 70 plus years and only followed along and never became a disciple. And to that I would say, then why sit there? If what you are following along with, if this Jesus who you are following along with is so intriguing that you can't stop but looking, when will you join? When will you become an imitator of the way in which he moves and teaches? When will we take our life and say, maybe the call is to lead my life this way? Now many have, but so many still follow along. And Jesus says today, it's not enough. He says, be my disciple. imitate my life and my teaching. Be my disciple. And you may be sitting there thinking, this would have been a good time to stick with the hymn. But brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, all of us at some point will have to stop and count the cost. What will it mean? What will it mean if I just become a disciple? Will I have to move from somewhere up north to Central Florida? I don't know. Will it mean that someone in my life is going to look at me and think I've lost my mind? That I guarantee. But we cling to our life that we build like we somehow did it. Like it's ours to begin with. And it's not. We will follow along with God incarnate, Jesus Christ, and say, this is very interesting, and it's very intriguing, and I will continue to follow along. And some will do it for their entire life. I asked a man one time who had done that. He was already in his 80s. And he is saying to me, I have been in church every Sunday, almost every Sunday of my entire life. And we had had a conversation that indicated to me that he didn't like my imitation of Christ because it offended his following along. And I asked him, if what I'm saying offends you so greatly, why would you continue to sit in the pew year after year, decade after decade? And you know what his response was to me? That's what you do. Could you imagine spending your entire life following along so close to Jesus and yet never, never choosing to be a disciple? Why would you do that? Except for the fact that the cross that you will have to pick up will have with it all of your fears and your concerns and the rest, which I'm guessing you already have anyway. So you can bear them alone, or you can bear them with Christ. Jesus is very serious in what he's saying today. Very serious. He is offending the people who are following along and saying to them, follow along if you'd like, but you will not be my disciple until I am everything first. Until you are willing to claim me as Lord and Savior over all of aspects, all parts of your life, including over your family, you will choose me over all else. And then you will pick up the cross and follow me. The burden that you carry with you, whatever it may be, he will help you carry that, but you just bring it along. More often than not, I suspect those burdens are relatively light to begin with for most of us. We just don't want to touch them. Some are heavier. And we just need to decide if we want to continue to bear it alone. But he says, until you do this, until you pick up this cross, until you become my disciple, you are just following along. Some will follow along their whole lives. And to that I would say, why? Why would you cling to your life that you seem is so precious while at the whole time looking in to the beauty of a relationship in full discipleship with Jesus and seeing it and going, this is close enough. I like it from here. I like to use the analogy of the Grand Canyon. Have you ever seen it in person? You ever been in it? You've seen nothing until you've seen it from the bottom. If you say you've seen it in a picture, I say to you and anyone else who's seen it in person, they will say, you've seen nothing. I've been there 5 times. I have very few pictures of it that I care for. All they do is remind me that I should go back again. And you show it to people and they're like, yeah, okay, that's nice. No, you don't get it. It is so amazing and so vast and so incredible. You can't know it until you're there with it and you can recognize it, and you don't know it, how it can overwhelm you until you're in it. You can't understand the fullness of the glory of God's creation in that aspect of the Grand Canyon, in my mind, until you're standing at the bottom on the bridge that goes over the river at 4 o'clock in the morning in pitch black, and you look up. It's incredible, brothers and sisters. If you haven't done it, and you can, you should. Now, the life that we lead in following along with Jesus is a time when we may be just looking at this incredible thing, and we may see others who have decided to become disciples and have put everything second in their lives and picked up whatever concern or whatever fear or whatever burden they may have and just picked it up and said, I'm going to go with them. I'm going to be his disciple. I'm going to imitate his life and his teaching. And I'm going to live into the fullness of the beauty of the relationship God has made possible through his very body and blood. Amen? That, brothers and sisters, is why we continue to come here, I hope. If you aren't sure why you continue to come and you can see these things and you're weighing the cost, I want you to hear the last verse of our hymn today. Unless you become the disciple, see, only those, right, who choose to be disciples will wear the crown. The glorious crown. We have to weigh the cost. What would you rather have? A full life and relationship with Jesus Christ, a disciple, a tool that he can use as an imitator of his life and his teaching? Or do you want what you made that you are so attached to, you're afraid to let it go? What value does that really have in the face of all that God can do? Why would we cling to a life that we have made when we can have the life that God intended for us? Why would we do that?
Because we are Episcopalians. I've been one for 65 years. And until I brought the girl with me last week, who is a disciple, she drove me crazy talking about Jesus.
I met her. She's not kidding.
She did not. She's at another church. She goes to 6 churches. She's the first one that told me to ask God. I keep hearing, be a disciple, follow God, carry the cross. But it was the first time that I
hand me a prayer
really
book.
Truly heard.
Prayer book. Go ahead.
Ask God. Pray. Ask God. To carry, help you carry your burdens. Ask him. You can't carry your burdens alone, Martha. You've got to ask God to help you. It's a shame that at 65 years old that I have all these demons and burdens inside me. I don't know how many other people do.
All of us.
Ask God to help you. I don't know how to carry a cross. I don't know how to be a disciple. And she said, ask God to help you. Ask asking, great asking.
Did you?
I have. This week, I have.
Well, and thanks be to God. Did he take you?
When I asked him to, he did. And sometimes I forgot to pray.
And you know what? He's still going to take you, even if you go sideways and come back.
I did. A couple, yes.
You went sideways or you came back?
Backwards, forwards.
God bless you. You're saying something important. Brothers and sisters, I know. And I've said it 100 times. We are so polite. We are so polite. I mean, let's be honest. Somebody right now is going, oh my goodness, somebody just spoke out in the middle of his sermon. Yeah, I can handle that. I've had people come up and give their life to Christ in the middle of a Episcopal church service. Shocking, amen? You know, it happens, and it's okay. In fact, it should be okay. But what we need to sometimes remember, and we do it all the time, and maybe we don't even know why we do it. I mean, every single time someone is baptized, we all do what? We renew our baptismal covenant. Every Easter, we do what? Well, about 40 of us do. We renew our baptismal covenant on, you know, that's Saturday night, the Easter service. But usually there's a baptism to catch up on Sunday, so that helps. But it's in there. We do it all the time. This is our thing. Now, we don't usually have people come up to altar calls, but we have an altar call every single week. Every week we do an altar call. We come forward to touch the risen Lord and let him touch us. That's what Martha's talking about. Being touched by the risen Lord. You know, what's it going to cost? What's it going to cost Martha? Well, somebody's going to go, oh my gosh, could you hear Martha talk in the middle of church? Who cares? Exactly. We can take it. And maybe somebody's sitting here thinking, oh man, I've never been here before. I'm definitely not coming back because this is a little too weird. Fine. You know, if that's where it is, that's where it is. I hear you. If it's too uncomfortable and you're not willing to pay the cost of feeling uncomfortable, then that's okay. However, Jesus says, bear the cross. We talked about this in Bible study. We think Jesus is this warm, wonderful, fuzzy being that says everything nicely all the time. He would never say a harsh word. And he would never say anything that made me feel uncomfortable. Well, if that's how you perceive Jesus, I would say quit following along and become a disciple. If his words do not convict you, you are not hearing his words in your heart. If everything you know about Jesus is in your head and your heart has never been driven to a place of stepping out of your fear or in the midst of your fear and living the way he's called you to live and listening to his teaching and sharing his teaching, if you have not ever been an imitator, then you have not been a disciple. Because that's what a disciple is. And if you just follow along, you're just following along. What will we do? What will we do with all that God has done? Will we continue to stand on the edge and say, look how beautiful it is? Even asks in there, by the way, do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? In the Episcopal Church, we ask that? Yes, we do. Some people say it this way. Hold on. Are you saved? And we go, I don't know. The answer is yes. We got to get a little more comfortable with that. Or, you know, better yet, let's not. Let's not get comfortable. Let's just get up and go anyway. Let's just pick up whatever it is that burdens us, that's keeping us from being imitators of his life and teaching. Let's just pick that up and say, well, maybe that's just part of my cross. We all have to do it. We all have something that we're hauling with us a little bit, and we can let him chip away, but he'll carry it with us. Some of us are called to stand in front of people and talk. I hate it. I do. You see that? Yeah, I have a tremor. You know what makes it worse? Exhaustion, lack of food, and anxiety. You know, when I came here and I saw that giant priest host, I went, oh no, we got to get rid of that. You know why? Because when I'm standing up there and in the sacramental role that God's called me to, it's scary. And I pick that thing up and it's like a fan. And I'm thinking, well, get the little one so everybody can't see it. And then, because that's what I did in my last parish, I said, get rid of that thing, get that little one. I'm not going to stand up there looking like a fool waving. And I came here, I said, you know what? Keep it. It's just the way it is. I don't have steady hands. But Lord, please, I beg you, just once in a while, let them be yours. Amen? He doesn't care if my hands shake. That's me. If it makes you nervous, don't be. Be okay with who you are before God. Let his words convict you and change you. Let him invite you in, even if it's from a friend who's been hounding you forever. Amen?
Amen.
And let that person's words be heard so that when the time comes to put on that crown, when you come alongside, will there be two lines? We got those who followed along and those who were disciples. All the disciples come over here. Those who followed along, I don't know. But brothers and sisters, how long will we just follow along before we become disciples? The world needs disciples. Jesus is calling us to that. He's equipping us for it. And we see the need everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. It's right outside the door. It's even right in this room now. What will you do? What will you do? Follow along or be a disciple? Just so you know, it doesn't matter how long it took. Doesn't matter. The glory of the life that God brings you when you come to the place you're describing right now surpasses all time. It doesn't matter. You were ready. Thanks be to God.